So there was some very exciting news this week coming out of the Alta Heim, especially for long-suffering basketball fans who grew up in the New York area or somewhere close to that. People get very excited about this stuff. I remember I told the story. I think I even told it in this forum in this year. That, you know, when the all-time losers of Major League Baseball, the Chicago Cubs, who, like, hadn't won anything in, like, 700 years. So finally, you know, at long last, they made it to the World Series. And my father told me over the phone that there was a report of somebody who, you know, it was, I don't know, whatever, whether it was Game 7 or it was Game 2 or whatever it is, but he was so psyched that he went to the Beis HaKfaris with his radio or with his television set and, you know, went to Kivrei Avos and sat there and, you know, listened or watched the game, you know, so that his father up in Shamayim or wherever he is, you know, could shep nachas.
I think it was his father's like dad or something.
Oh my gosh.
I heard the story.
It just got crazier, right? So people take this really, really seriously. It's very exciting. Very, very exciting. People get very excited about. But anything in life that's very, very exciting, so you got to know what you're excited about. So in stuff like this, it's very easy. I mean, first of all, it's highly entertaining. And people are very, very invested in their team, and they live with this illusion that, like, if my team wins, then I somehow have kind of bragging rights, you know. That's why I want to get Color War started over here in the yeshiva as well. The same type of attitude. But then you might say, okay, fine, there's something else also. The Rosh Yeshiva had a line. He said, Mr. Angel, Angel used to be the big bread company here in Israel. He said, Mr. Angel does not really care about bread. Mr. Angel cares about money, and he uses bread as a hechatimsa to getting money, right? So you might say that the owners of the team, come on, what are they doing it for? They're doing it for Enter. No, they want them. They want to be the champions, because if they're the champions, so then they're going to make more money. And so therefore, they're heavily invested because it's good for business. But I'll tell you the truth. If you think that to the end, you realize that's a wrong cheshbon as well. Because anybody who wants to make money, buying and owning a sports team is the wrong way to do it. You'll win, you'll lose, but there are many other ways that are much more foolproof than to buy a sports team. And so therefore, even the guy who wins the sports team, he's the biggest sports fan. Because when his team wins, then he really wins. And, you know, it is his. When we were in high school, so we used to have, you know, whatever, these fantasy leagues where you buy the players and everything. That's my team, right? My team. But the bottom line is that when you get excited about something, you need to know what you're getting excited about. Are you excited just because of the fake sense of competition? Are you excited about the money? And the guy who goes and buys the sports team and he thinks that the reason he's buying the sports team is because he's going to make money, he's going to end up very, very disappointed. If he's buying it because he's into the sport and he's into being the ultimate fan, so then he has his nose where it's supposed to be. He sees, he's got his eye on the ball and he knows exactly what he's in for. And no matter what happens, so, okay, this is all part of the game. When you get into anything in life, you got to know what you're after. And you got to know what's the point, and you got to know what's the illusion. And there is no time and there is no place that's more important than years in yeshiva to figure out exactly what it is that you're after and what we're doing in these four walls. Because it's very, very easy to get distracted. When you get distracted 10%, you're 10% less effective. You get 20% distracted, you get 80% distracted, but if you know what you're after, have your eye on the ball, so then you maximize your opportunity, and that's what I would like to talk about a little bit today. The Parshas Baal Leischa, you don't have to go very far. There's a famous sugya that happens right away in the first pasuk, and everybody knows it because of Chanukah, and the famous Ramban. Last week we had all the parshiyos of the Nesiim, one after the other, da 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 da, right? Chanukah Samizbeach. Then you have one pasuk And then, starting off this week's parasha, you have Aydar Hashem Moshe Lemar, Dabar El Aroim, Yomar Toilo, Baalaischos, Aneiros, Mupni Amneira, Yairu Shivas Aneiros. Aaron gets a tzivui to light the menorah. Asks Rashi the kasha, what's the sheiches? Lama nismecha parshas haminorah or parshas haneseim? What's the sheiches between the parshas haminorah and parshas haneseim? Because l'fi kashira Aaron chanukas haneseim chol shadaitai. Aaron saw that the neseim brought all their karbonas. He got chalishas adas. He became a bit depressed. Shloi moyim b'chanukah. Says a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Amalei a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Chayecha Shelcha Gedolah Mishalahem Shatam Madlik Umeitiv Zaneira. Since you're lighting the menorah, you have a better thing than they do. Everybody asked the Kasha, who said, why is menorah better than the Karbonis? You have Karbonis, you have the menorah. What's the difference? And the Ramban says, based on Medrash, that the reason that menorah is bigger than Karbonis is because Karbonis go as long as we have a Beis HaMikdash. But menorah goes forever. It's the Lashon of the Tanchuma. The Tanchuma says, Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe, Lechem Or La'Aron Al Tisyore, don't be afraid. L'Gedula Mizayis Ata Muchan, you're going to have a greater Gedula. HaKarbonis calls man Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim Eim Noyagim. The Karbonis are only Noyag calls man that there's a Beis HaMikdash. Aval HaNeiris Liyoylam El Mul Pnei HaMenoira Ye'iru V'chol HaBrachas Shenasati L'chol HaVarachas Bnei Ezbonai Enim B'teil Liyoylam. The Brachas are forever and the Neiris are forever. But the question is that the Neiris are not forever. When the Beis HaMikdash is gone, so too is the Menoira. Comes the Ramban famously, and the Ramban says, based on Rabbeinu Nissim Goin, that the Peshat in the Medrash is, he's talking about Neiris Chanukah. And a beautiful drush for Chanukah, and the Ramban says it, so you can't argue. But Yesh Eimrim, that there is another Peshat over here. And that whereas the Karbonis actually died when the Beis HaMikdash did, but the Menorah didn't. And the menorah is still alive and well today. And that's what we meant, that Gedola, that Shalcha Gedola Mishalahem. But how is that? How do we say that the menorah is still alive today? What exactly is the pshat? There's an interesting machlekes, if you could say it as a machlekes. There probably is no machlekes between, the Maral on one hand, and the Hamikdavar, the Netziv, on the other hand. So Mashkiach says this, and whatever, Rami, Naftali, maybe the Rosh Yeshiva says, Gishmak of Maramaka, but on exactly this issue, they're fascinating. The Maral says in Chidush Agadis on Shabbos, he says over there, what was the power of the menorah? The menorah, everybody real, what's a menorah? The menorah is Kiner Mitzvah Torah, or the menorah is light. The menorah is enlightenment. The menorah helps us see the world. But what does a menorah really mean? Zok the Maral, the menorah was source is too strong of a term, but it was what helped, it was what was mashpia that brought nevuah. Shmuel HaNavi, Eli HaKoyen, was the last of the Zakenim. The Zakenim gave to the Nevi'im, who was the first Navi, Zok the Maral, Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi slept there. He laid down over there in a hechel right in front of the menorah. And the menorah was mashpia on him. And that's what brought about his nevuah. Chazal tell us that Yoina HaNavi was on his way to going to the Beis HaMikdash during the Shalosh Regalim. Why? Because he was going to be seifeg. He was going to ingest Ruach HaKadosh. And that's how he was going to get nevuah. And what was the source of this nevuah? The menorah. So the menorah gives you nevuah. That's the Maral. The HaMikdavar says something else. If I would ask you guys, what does the Maral say? What do we have for the menorah? What do you learn from the menorah? The menorah is the source of what? The Ner Mitzvah Torah are? Talmud! Pulpul of Deiraisa! Havayis Tabaye Varava, back and forth in the base medrash, says the Hamakdavar, he quotes Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon, anytime somebody said a Gishmak of Pshat in the Taisvis, Rabbi Chaim wasn't around yet in the times of Rabbi Tarfon. Well, I don't know, whatever, but neither was Taisvis. But Rabbi Tarfon says that anytime somebody said a good Pshat, what do you say to the person? Kaftor Vaferach. They have it in the back of the Eyes of Hadr things, right? Also, Kaftor Vaferach. Why Kaftor Vaferach? Okay, fine. It's a ball and a flower. It's a Geshmak Azach. It's a menorah. Kaftor Vaferach. So when a person says something that's le'inyan, it's on the money, you say Kaftor Vaferach. Because the source, or the representative, or the symbol of Teresh Baal Peh, the Maserah that we still have now, is the menorah. And so I ask you guys the question, like, how could it be, you know, both things be true? You have a Maral and you have a Hamikdavar, and maybe they're arguing, but maybe they're not. Maybe there's a common denominator over here between Nevuah and between Pilpula Deraisa, and really the same thing. So number one, how is the Menorah still with us even after the Beis HaMikdash? And number two, in order to get into that, how do you say that the Menorah is the source of Nevuah? And then afterwards, the menorah is the hashpa that we get that will now enables us to learn Teresh Baal Peh, have a mesera, avayis da abayva rava. And one more issue to round it off over here, the fascinating. This is an inyan which is lahalacha. You have all of these svarim. I quote them a lot in halacha, in halacha shir. You have the Machzor Vitri and the Orchas Chaim. And you have the and you have the Abu Dharam. All of these are written, you know, around the year on the Siddur. Now they all say a similar thing. A very interesting idea. Very, very interesting idea. How come sometimes after Kriyas HaTorah, or a tefillah that has a Kriyas HaTorah, how come we have Ashrei with Uvel Tzion and sometimes without Uvel Tzion? Ever think about it? Sometimes without Uvel Tzion, like during the week when we are Kriyas HaTorah, we have Uvel Tzion. Mincha by Shabbos, we have Uvel Tzion. Tainis, no Uvel Tzion. Yom Kippur, no Uvel Tzion. Shabbos davening, Yom Tov davening, no Uvel Tzion. So what's the difference? How come sometimes with Uvel Tzion, sometimes without Uvel Tzion? Zogt Abu Dar, Machzor Vitri, all of them, they say very simple. The first pasuk after Uvel Tzion Goel, that first havtacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, "Vani zeis brisi yosam amar Hashem ruchi asher alecho dvar asher samti bepicha," my ruach that I put on you and my words that I put in your mouth, "Vayomushu mipicha mipi zera zarecha miato yaroilam," they're never be taken away. Zot all these svarim, that correlates, that is talking about the Nevi'im. It's talking about Nevuah. So when you have a Haftarah, you don't say Uvel Tzion. Think about it. Shabbos, no Uvel Tzion. Yom Kippur, no Uvel Tzion by Mincha. Shabbos Mincha, you have Uvel Tzion. Why? Because there's no Haftarah. We need that pasuk to give us a Navi. You have the Kriyas HaTorah, but you always need to mention the Navi. But then we have the same question as we had before, and it all falls in line. If this is talking about Nevuah, so what do you mean? We don't have Nevi'im anymore. The Nevi'im stopped at the end of Bayis Rishon. You had a couple left over, but that was it. So we have three questions. Number one, what does it mean that the menorah lasts forever? And that's Pashup shot in that Medrash without coming on to Hanukkah. Question number two. How could the menorah talk about both Nevuah and at the same time talk about Talmud? And the third thing is over here is that this Pasuk, first Pasuk in Uvel Tzion, is coming to talk about Nevuah. So how could it be? Me'ata v'yad oylam, we don't have Nevi'im. We don't have Nevi'im anymore. Okay, so we're missing one of our four tables over here. And they tell me the reason that they're missing one of the four tables is because they're downstairs, and we're about to launch a major campaign for the yeshiva. And Be'ezras Hashem, it's going to be a very, very big hatzlacha. And, you know, what's it called? I'll tell you, the line that I've been hearing, Rashi has been saying it a lot, is that, you know, we have to focus during this campaign that there's such a thing as a tzibur. And everybody has to realize I'm part of the tzibur, and the tzibur does things. The tzibur is responsible for each other. You don't show up to Seder, so you're hurting somebody else. And v'hala, 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 we're all in this together. I'd like to be meisif another point. And the other point is that anytime you're asked to do something by somebody who has done things for you, so there's a basic midah, which the Chavis Alvavis says is the point of the entire religion, and that's called Hakaras HaTayv. Hakaras HaTayv means is that if somebody did something for you, so you have to recognize clearly what it is. And therefore, if you recognize clearly what it is, then you should feel compelled to, you know, give something back. Last year, when we had this campaign, so I didn't exactly know what to do. You know, like, I'm not going to be sitting there on WhatsApp and, you know, talking to people and everything like that. It's just whatever. It's not my thing. But what I did was I sent a letter, and in the letter, I described and I talked about something, I mean, which is very deep-seated in me, that Baruch Hashem, I have a very, very rare privilege in life. A rare privilege, a rare zechus, that I'm able to wake up every morning and know, you know, what's this, some days make it to Shacharis, some days don't make it to Shacharis, but come to yeshiva, and I have an opportunity waiting for me every single day, that I can try to help guide people at a stage of their life, 18, 19, 20 years old, in exactly the same place and the same matziv, more or less, as I was at their age. Very, very rare. I always say one of my biggest challenges is being in yeshiva over here, remembering that I'm not the 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 20-year-old that I was when I was in yeshiva, but I knew exactly what it was. And I know what the challenges are, and now I find myself in a situation where I'm able to be a guide to people who are going through exactly what I went through and helping them maximize the opportunity, you know, where I did, where I didn't. And it's unusual. It's very, very unusual. And I appreciate that very, very much. And, you know, whatever it is, that was the basis of the letter. I'll tell you the downside, though, of that letter. Is that I'm very, very passionate about it. You may have realized. I really know that when I was 18, when I was 19, when I was 20, it was pashut to me. That I wanted to accomplish something. I wanted to accomplish something here. I wanted to accomplish something with my life. And I know that, you know, I came here, and of course there were struggles, and you went through or whatever it is, and that's wonderful, because when you're passionate about something, so hopefully it rubs off on somebody else. The downside of being passionate about something is that when you see that other people are not as passionate as you are, so it could be annoying and worse. So let me just share with you some of my observations. Please don't take it personally if it doesn't apply to you. And if it does, then still don't take it entirely personally, because I'm not coming to bash anybody over here. But I find that there are two parts of what I'll call the Tomo cult that have absolutely no basis of what Tomo really is trying to produce. And then there's the third part, which is the MS. Let's start with the first one. I call it the icon cult. The icon cult basically says is that the reason that we have a yeshiva over here is more or less like, you know, building a chassidus, but not in the, you know, not in the hechera level of chassidus, but, you know, you want to be part of a group. And at the helm of this group, there's a Rosh Yeshiva, and there's a Rabbi Shurkin, and, you know, whatever it is, and it's just all very high and holy. And I want to just be part of that group And if I spend 3 years here or 4 years, then I can move on to another place and be part of it. Tomo Chabur, I have to be part of that group. I remember when the Rosh Yeshiva, they put him on the cover of Mishpacha magazine, which was the same reason that we're having the campaign. And somebody went over to him and said, "Oh, Rebbe, Mazel Tov." And he almost smacked them. "What do you think? Do you think I like this? There's nothing that's more disgusting than that. I don't want to be an icon. I don't want everybody to say, okay, fine, I'm in the Soloveitchik yeshiva, I'm in the Meiselman's yeshiva, now I made it to the world." That's not the point. That's false cult number one. False cult number two is that we're here to have a wonderful experience while having a wonderful time learning Torah as well. A geshmaka social life, geshmaka activities, and geshmaka learning. Sort of like a little bit of a nerdier version of other yeshivas who try to do the same thing. And I would say do it better than they do, because that's what they are, and we're not cut out for that. You don't have people here who are equipped to give you a wonderful experience and a geshmaka experience. That's not what they're good at. I wasn't born to play center for the New York Knicks. You know, Boker Tov, good morning. And you have some guy, you know, whatever it is, you know, trying to be a chevroman, and he's, you know, whatever. He's super lamdan, but he's not the chevroman, so then that, no. But there's a cult like that. Yeah, that's what Tomo is all about. You know, whatever. We're Yeshiva X, just, you know, whatever it is. No, that's not it either. So what is it that we're about? Again, this is my Hagdara. You can take it or leave it. But what we're about is that this Yeshiva, we don't play any favorites. It doesn't make a difference which community you grew up in. It doesn't make a difference where you came from. It doesn't make a difference who your grandfather was. And it doesn't even make a difference if you have the greatest skills coming in. But you can come in and you can learn from world-class Talmidei Chachamim. And if you have the Ratzon and you have a little bit of ability, so then you can make it to be a very, very serious and hopefully world-class Talmid Chacham yourself. That's what it's about. That's what it's set up to achieve. Does everybody make it to that? No, of course not. But that's what Baruch Ber said. That was the entire chinuch system in Europe. We're trying to create Ga'ine Olam, and then the people who don't end up being Ga'ine Olam, they end up being, you know, Erlach HaBaal Batim, Erlach HaMechanchim, and everything else in between. But there's being a fan, and there's thinking, you know, whatever, this is what it's all about. And then there's putting your eye on the, what are we here for? And I'll be honest with you, my passion, when I see people who are not getting it, I find it very difficult to deal with sometimes. Don't they get it? Don't they realize what it's about? But that's Hakaras HaTov. And if you think about what we just said over here, this really is the bridge that puts together all of our questions. There are two parts of the Beis HaMikdash. There's a part of the Beis HaMikdash that was called Karbonis. Karbonis are called Avoda. We still have Avoda, we daven, we do all kinds of mitzvahs. And we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, that if you don't have Zman Kriya Shema in your jargon, so then you're not in the same religion. It's not going to work for you. But that's one part, and when we lost the Beis HaMikdash, we lost Karbonis, and it went down to an entirely different level. Our Aveda is not the Aveda of Beis HaMikdash anymore. But then there's a second thing that was in Beis HaMikdash. The second thing that was in Beis HaMikdash, the Ramban says, the Beis HaMikdash was a hemshech of Maimed Har Sinai. The Beis HaMikdash was where you sponged up Nevuah. The Beis HaMikdash was where there was a presence of Hashem and you felt like you were at Har Sinai over there. It wasn't just inspiration, it was the real thing. Maimed Har Sinai. That got lost too. Take a look in the Gemara in Bava Basra, and the Gemara in Bava Basra says, no, it didn't. The Gemara in Bava Basra says, it didn't get worse, it just got better. Amar of Dimi, Miyom Shecharav Beis HaMikdash, Nitla Nevuah Min HaNeviim. The Nevuah is gone. But V'nitla, V'natla L'Chachamim. It was given to the Chachamim. Amar HaMeimar, V'Chacham Adif Minavi. A Chacham is better, is higher than a Navi. Well, what does it mean? A Chacham also has Nevuah and he has a better Nevuah than the Navi does? Of course not. Chacham is not a Navi. But what is a Navi? A Navi means is that he's sitting there in front of the menorah, he's sponging up the Shekhinah just like they had in Maimed Har Sinai, and he's getting inspired by the Rabbeinu Shalom, he's getting messages. The Chacham has exactly the same thing, but just not through Nevuah, not through the Beis HaMikdash, but through sitting in a Beis Medrash, and also being at Har Sinai. That's what it means that Aaron's Chanukah was greater than the Nesiim's. Shel Chagdel Mishalahem. Because the menorah, which is Torah, which is Maimed Har Sinai, that's still going on today. That's forever. And that's why the Maral and the HaMikdavar are really saying exactly the same thing. It was just two different periods in history. At the time that there was Nevuah, what did you get from the menorah? You got the Nevuah from the menorah. And after there was a Beis HaMikdash, just went up a notch. But we still have it today. Maimed Har Sinai is now a Beis Medrash. And finally, why is it that you can say in that pasuk in Uvel Etzion, Lo yamushu mipicha mipi zarecha ad oilam, we don't have Nevuah anymore? And how does it correlate to the Haftarah? Very simple. Because it's still in our mouths. Because Chacham Adif Minavi. And that's what it's all about. And people make a big mistake. People get sidetracked. People think that these years, you know, whatever it is, okay, fine, no, I can't push myself too hard. I have to have a good time or whatever. But people don't realize what they have sitting here in front of them. And the opportunity that there is to be gleaned over here. I just had an experience or whatever. I went to Chasana beginning of the week, and I was sitting at a table. I think maybe there were three people, four people at our table, you know, the rabbi's table or whatever it is. And most of the rabbi didn't show up, and those are, you know, we didn't have any friends, you know. And the tables that were right next to us were not very inspiring, to say the least, or whatever it is, you know. So there were some of them were mixed over there, whatever it is. But I'll tell you something. I had the most inspiring experience at this chasana, sitting at that table. Why? Because I was sitting with two, sometimes three, people that came out of this yeshiva, and they're younger than me, who are amongst the best products that ever came out of here. I almost felt like I was sitting there at Har Sinai, talking in this sugya and that sugya, whatever. And a lot of the sugyas that they were talking about are sugyas that they're learning, and I don't even know what they're talking about. You know, my head is spinning all the way around. But it was so geschmack. Just look at the look on their faces. You have real Talmidei Chachamim. Not every Talmid Chacham, not everybody, you know, who says a shir is okay, fine, and he's Chacham Adiv Minavi. It has to be a person, when you talk to him, you feel that reyach, you smell that reyach of Har Sinai. There's something real in that person. There's a shechina in the room. That's something you could tap into. You have that. You have that opportunity for a few years. And the point of it is is not to have a good experience and not to idolize the people. So, whoa, that guy's on such a high madrigo, or whatever it is, or learned for 40, 50 years or whatever, he's making daily ador. That's not the point. The point is you become the God Ador. You become a serious Talmud Chacham. That's what you're supposed to be thinking. And if I can't, or I don't know if I'm up to it, so then push yourself hard today, and maybe tomorrow you'll be even better. That's what this place was chartered in order to do. And this is what I've seen during my entire, you know, my entire career here, going back close to 40 years already. The people that I've seen come out of this Beis Medrash, I mean, you can go through a Hall of Fame that's absolutely incredible. And you find out what high schools they went to and everything like that, and a lot of times they're not so impressive, and a lot of times much less than impressive. Mechabrei Svarim, Rosh Yeshivas, or whatever it is, it does, but who cares? You have a seichel, and you work, and the sky is the limit. But if you join one of the cults, the idolatry cult, or the Geshmaka cult, so you're just a fan. And you know what? Don't know what you're after, so you end up disappointed. The main thing is to know what you're doing over here and to realize that every second is precious. Everybody in this room has the potential and has the capacity to do great, great things. All you need is to want it. All you need is to apply yourself. All you need is to believe that, yeah, this applies to me too. It doesn't only apply to people who have fancy last names and who have yichis and who have, whatever, special opportunities. The Keser Torah is given to anybody who wants, can go and he can take it. And Be'ezus Hashem, if we try hard enough and we're clear after what we're after, so it'll apply to all of us as well. It should be a campaign of Karas HaTayv, and that should be Hatzlacha, and everybody should have a good Shabbat.